Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University and is a licensed chiropractor with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School and the clinic director at the Premier Center in Santa Monica, where he treats many famous names in Hollywood under nationally recognized Premier Labs owner and CEO Dr. Robert Marshall. Got a health question? Ask Dr. Medici live today on Straight Talk on Health. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. We're going to tackle something that everybody's interested in, especially in America. We're going to give you a perspective on aging. Anti-aging, stop the aging. Don't become old. Because when you're old, you're left out. People start to call you sir, ma'am, lady, senior citizen. They stop proofing you at the 7-Eleven. The first sign of aging is when they don't ask for your ID. This is depressing. We all get older from the beginning right to the end. And then our souls are set free. They go to heaven and we don't have to worry about it anymore. So what's the big deal about aging? Ask America. They're consumed with the idea. Facelifts, stem cell therapy, human growth hormone, makeup, cosmetics, this, that, the other thing. And, of course, the herbalists are doing it, too. We have herbs for you. And these herbs are from God. And they slow down or stop or reverse the aging process. And we can prove that scientifically with studies funded by, we don't want to ask who. These herbs can do it too. So, you know, whether it's allopathic medicine or holistic medicine, it doesn't matter. Everybody's consumed by this. And we've got the longevity conference going on right now down at the Orange County Hilton. I was there yesterday with Dr. Marshall. I'll be there tonight. And it's great. It really is great. Okay, I'm going to be my usual sort of, there's something underneath it all that you should understand self, because this is Straight Talk on Health. But it's fantastic. All these people, and a lot of these people are in their 50s and 60s. And unlike our grandparents, if you're 50 years old today, you still remember when you were a little kid, grandma and grandpa. And grandma and grandpa, boy, they were born around what? In the 1880s, 1890s. By the time World War I hit, they were 20 years old. So if you're 50 years old today, you remember grandma and grandpa. And when they were 50 and 60, they were already old. This is amazing for me to observe here, you know. At 60 years old, nobody I know, well, I shouldn't say that, but lots of people at the age of 50 or 60 years old, they're not thinking about being grandparents. Women at 50 today, in their minds, they're 20. Men, they go out and they exercise. I was talking to a guy the other day, 56 years old. He's surfing these 10-foot waves and taking these spills with his teenagers, and he has no concept that he's 50-something years old. In his mind, he's out there with these 20-year-olds, and there's no difference. That's wonderful. That is wonderful. But you see, what I'm going to try to do today, as always, is give you what's underneath all of this. And underneath all of this is a lot of fear. Fear about getting older. You run in certain circles, and the Hollywood circle, which not all of us are part of, but nonetheless, there's a mentality. There's a mentality in corporations that as you age, you're getting closer to the farm, you know, where they put you just to sit and watch TV. And there's a fear underneath all of this. Because as you age, it's not that you're wiser. As you age, it's not that you're sexier. As you age, it's not that you're proven. It's as you age, it's not that you have more character. as you age, it's simply you don't look as good as everybody else. And the fact is, as you age, if you age correctly, you are more inspirational and more charismatic and more representative of what it is to be human than anything. And you inspire people who are 20 and 30 years younger than you. But you've got to activate in a certain way. By the time most people are 50 years old, so many of their dreams have started to just disappear up into smoke that that's what ages them. Their faith in themselves and in the goodness of their life begins to really get the final test. When you go into that second half of your life, you start to wear the look of broken dreams, of I thought it was going to be like this and I found out it was going to be like that. That is what young people fear. And anybody that doesn't fall into that trap, let alone anybody that can take care of their body, now you really are the guy in his 50s or 60s that's just as sexy as he was when he was 20 years old. Now, that's a perspective we really need to take to ourselves. Because if we do the other one, well, I think this is a, well, I don't want to call it a joke, but really, if after 50 years old, it's about human growth hormone, stem cells therapies, facelifts, even wonderful herbs, stuff that you just take out of the refrigerator, pull off the store shelf, guzzle down your throat, and voila, you've got that second lift on life. If that's the way you're running, you're still running scared. Now, what about the nuts and bolts of anti-aging? First of all, I want you to look at the cell. The cell itself, the heart cell, the brain cell, the liver cell, the kidney cell, the spleen cell, the bone cell, the muscle cell, all your digestive cells, your pancreatic cells. These cells have a biological age and a chronological age. That means every cell is like a factory. And if that factory has a reserve energy, a surplus of adenosine triphosphate, a surplus of ATP, if that cell, based upon multiple systems, not just the skin stuff you use, not just the cosmetic antioxidant on your skin. See, we got to move away from that and into the cell. The cell being a photonic system, a magnetic field, organizing trillions of chemical reactions per second. And if in the totality of all of these interactions within the cell has a surplus of energy, it directs that energy to repairing the cell. The more you do that over 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, 40 years, the slower you age, the more you resist age. So that you may be 50 years old chronologically, but you have a cell that's biologically 30 years old because you've never dipped into the reserve, because you've always had a reserve to repair. So if you can repair systems in the cell faster than that those systems break down, you're going to look much younger as you age. That's the ticket in a nutshell. Now, we can reduce that to take your human growth hormone, and yes, of course, the cell does exactly that. It repairs on unbelievable levels and yada, yada, yada. And I'm sorry, I'm going to start screaming. This is a hyperinflated claim. And it's only common sense. Common sense, in the end, tells the truth. Really now. You're going to live like garbage. You're not going to exercise. You're going to have negative thoughts. You're going to live in toxic environments. Even your job site should be condemned. You're going to overwork yourself. You're going to live with the unbelievable stresses of urban life. And you're just going to pop some human growth hormone, catch yourself a facelift at 60. And there's not going to be a kickback to that. There's not going to be a bite to that. You're going to do everything wrong. Or you're going to do things that are only minimally effective, and then because you have a great esthetician, you're going to get the edge. Well, I understand you do the best that you can do. No two ways about it, okay? You do what you can do. But there's this line we start to cross. You got to remember, the media, the commercial market has a powerful influence, and we start to believe our own baloney. And it is definitely baloney to sacrifice some of the fundamentals we're going to get into today about what and how you should really look at aging. Because you start overlooking what I'm about to say and have already said today, and you start drinking the Kool-Aid. So you pick your own lie. And one of them is that anti-aging is about human growth hormone and a bunch of supplements you can consume, even if they're herbs. It's much, much deeper than that. And it involves herbs. It involves herbs. Herbs accelerate your health. But if you don't understand the fundamentals behind the herb, you will never potentiate the herb. I'm going to harp on that today. Fat Harry, the cab driver, eating at Taco Bell and Dunkin' Donuts, that starts to consume a little ginseng or rhodiola or ashwagandha or cordyceps or red reishi. Well, better he do that, right, than not. Agreed. I submit. Agreed. But when he starts to think that that's what anti-aging's about, he's kidding himself. And when he's not given the fundamental perspectives to understand how he's almost wasting his money, that's not good either. So there's this thin line. We know. But buy this herb. We know. Why do you think Dr. Marshall is always harping on digestion? He just said it on the show today. He's talking about aging, and he's saying if you want to accelerate your aging, lose your digestive system. Eat foods that are difficult to digest. This is the kind of fundamentals I'm talking about. So first concept here. First concept, there's a cell. That cell performs gazillion functions per second. And when that cell has a surplus of energy produced by its own energetic centers, its Krebs cycle, its electron transport chains, the production of ATP, adenosine triphosphate, donating phosphate groups in the cell to move chemicals around to get the job done. When you have an excess of that, you have a surplus that you can spend on fixing your broken windows, painting your walls, redoing your rugs, calling the carpenter to fix the holes in the roof, so on and so forth. The minute you don't, your cell starts to break down. And when it breaks down, it doesn't function as well. And so it can't repair tissue because it doesn't function as well. And it's not being repaired because it's so busy responding to the demands of production. If you're using your heart, overworking your digestion, overworking your adrenals, overworking your muscular system, overworking your systems, then your physiological systems have to spend all their energy to produce for you. And you burn out, meaning what? You don't repair as fast as you produce. Right? Office workers in the corporate structure, we can't beat you with his whip too long. Push for production. Finally, what happens to production? Right? Production caves in. The demands of production have to be compensated for by the time and ingredients necessary for repair. Corporate America has not learned that, has it? Few people understand really that's what anti-aging is about. That's number one. Now, next concept. I'll start with something close to all our hearts, the skin. Yes, the skin. Your beautiful, youthful, lovely, wrinkle-free, oil-filled skin that at some point begins to get spots on it. We call them liver spots. Maybe they're not liver spots. Sometimes they go away with liver cleanses, if you do the cleanse right. Sometimes they don't. Maybe they're sunspots, antioxidant, free radical damage, requiring more antioxidants. But here's the big one. The skin is susceptible to damage based upon the amount of oil in it. And I don't care where you're from. I don't care if you're from Ireland, England, Africa, Italy, China, India, your skin should have grease on it. Grease. Oil. At all times. At 11 o'clock in the morning, you should be wiping off some oil from your face. At 3 o'clock in the afternoon, you should be wiping off some oil from your face. Now, there's two things that create a dry face. One of them is you don't digest your fats because you don't consume your fats, or because even if you consume them, you can't digest them. Well, really then, you've already put it together. And you already know that unless you are patent in the biliary system, unless you blow bile, unless you excrete bile in copious amounts under the stresses of gallbladder flushes, coffee enemas, etc., you're not moving the bile through at your optimal level, which means you are not digesting your fats at your optimal level, which means you're not going to have that nice grease slick on your face at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, which is what you want. Because if you have that oil in the skin, that skin will significantly reduce the rate of decay. In other words, instead of skin serums, perhaps we should be pushing coffee enemas. Absurd. You see, if you take it that way, if you approach it that way, you can see sort of the absurdity. All the money spent on topical skin creams, all the money spent on facelifts, all the money spent on human growth hormone, all the money spent on herbs, when why don't we just use the herbs to move the bile through so you can digest the fats after you learn which fats to digest so that the skin can get oily? Why don't we say to people, you want good skin, Jack? In 1 year, we're going to put oil on your face. Because you haven't had it there since puberty, since the pimple years, since you went out and put drugs on your face to burn the oil out and the infection with your zits. That's hitting hard. That's hitting home. I think people need to hear it more that way. I think instead of putting a skin serum on your face, you ought to think more in terms of opening up your bile ducts. Then I think you should do both. So don't misunderstand me. I'm not knocking herbs. I'm not knocking all sorts of little add-ons like the cosmetics, the natural cosmetics. I'm not doing that. I'm saying we're living this way truly at the expense of understanding where we should spend our money if it comes down to one or the other. For your skin, spend your money on coin grass and turmeric and moving bile before you spend your money on a skin serum. How's that one? And if you're 60 and you're not happy with your muscles, spend it on good, high-quality animal protein rather than human growth hormone. I'm just going to throw this in. I've just got to. I'm going to harp back on it later down at the Longevity Conference. You got a lot of vegans down there. I'm going to get after that later on. I don't even want to start now. It's too early in the show. But here's the bottom line as far as the whole vegan thing is concerned. I beg you, I'm on my knees with my arms up in the air. If vegetables can cut it and all the high-end veganism, I'll do it tomorrow. If you work with people in deficiency who are sick, they don't come out of sickness if you remove sources of animal protein from their diets. And that's very different than some big fat football player who at 50 years old decides his joints hurt and he's got arthritis and he's got gout and he's got digestive problems and he gets headaches and he takes his big strong 50-year-old body and says, gee, I've got to cut out the junk food and so I'm just going to drink superfoods all week long and drop 60 pounds and then get all my energy back and run around screaming, I'm a vegan and I'm healthy. This isn't what I'm talking about. You could take a guy like that and put him on Weight Watchers and he's going to get his health back. If you take people who are strong, strong hormonally, strong by birth, people who are just suffering from the enormous lists of ailments that people suffer from crummy diets, crummy lifestyles. And you put them all in a room and you put them on wheatgrass juice or superfoods or whatever you want to do, and they comply. They stop their donuts, they stop their coffee, they stop their booze, they stop their cigarettes, so on and so forth. They start exercising a little bit. You're going to have fantastic returns. So in that respect, Mr. Longevity Conference, I'm not knocking that. But what I am saying is, if you take people who are sick, I'm talking about people that don't get up in the morning. I'm talking about people who were healthy and now they don't have a life anymore. I'm talking about people who are not cutting it day to day. Not people who are just tired old football players. If you take them and you take animal protein out of their diet, good luck. Good luck with that. Extremely difficult, if not impossible, to do. You want to see skin sag? Talk to your average vegan at 50 years old. You want to see skin sag? Talk to your average vegan, if they make it that long, at 60 years old. And they can be intelligent vegans and intelligent vegetarians, so on and so forth. So you got to really, really be careful with that. So we're having anti-aging conferences, whether it's allopathic. The MDs are on this too. Let me tell you about the MDs and anti-aging medicine. Here's something everybody forgot. Back in the 90s, you see, back in the 90s, the Bill Clinton era, when the HMOs and PPOs and the whole medical care system flipped upside down and medical doctors lost a lot of money. When in the old days, you could be an internist and make yourself $1 million a year if you knew what you were doing. If you were a good old-fashioned internist that people trusted and you loved your job, and God bless you, those guys, you see, you could make a lot of dough, and you could do it honestly. When the HMO system came in, the PPO system came in, when all of this turned upside down, go find an internist making that kind of money today. So the medical doctors had a big problem, and one of the ways they solved it is they looked at markets. Come on, remember when we were kids? Was there a cosmetic dermatologist down the street when we were kids? Did you walk into a medical doctor's office and have him say, you know, I could remove 20 of those molds on your face at $200 a pop? We didn't have cosmetic dermatology. We didn't have the super mind drugs. And we didn't have anti-aging medicine. One of the things that drove it is it's all cash. Yeah, I'm going to let it right out of the bag. Your insurance doesn't pay for anti-aging medicine. So you got to pay it out of pocket. Stem cell treatments, human growth hormone, facelifts. Insurance doesn't pay for these things. And the allopathic guys loved this. All of a sudden, the dermatologist of 1950, who may have graduated at the bottom of his class or didn't get such a great residency, the one they wanted in neurosurgery did dermatology. Not all of them. But dermatology didn't pay. Dermatology pays today, man. It really pays. You take Mrs. Smith, sit her down, point out all those brown spots, all those moles, all those discolorations, disfigurations, growths she doesn't even know she has because she hasn't looked at her back since 20 years ago. You put her in a mirror and tell her, I can make this all go away. You're talking big business in anti-aging medicine. And I'm not saying it's bad. I'm saying, what about the diet and protein deficiency? That's fundamental. That's more important. What about dry brushing the skin to open the circulation so that you could get the nutrition to the skin so that you can remove the garbage that will otherwise concentrate as a free radical in the pore and ultimately blemish the skin? What about that? What about taking oil, sesame oil, from high quality sources and massaging it into skin and then dry brushing the skin? What about sun practices? Yes, the sun. The sun, it's hilarious. You go to the track, it's usually women. Women beauty, wrinkles, the end of life. The end of life is when you see your first crow line. And you see them at the track. Nice women, good Christian women, and they're wrapped in a blanket. Sunglasses, one of those big, stupid hats, and a big scarf around the face. They look like they're a Western version of a burqa. And they're wrapped in these things so the sun doesn't touch their skin. And it's 9 o'clock in the morning. Is that common sense? Does that make any sense? The sun is good for the skin. You know why? The sun, UV light, ultraviolet light, is an anti-infective. All those molds and those warts, they grow on fat people more than skinny people because they need moisture. Yeah, that's right. Gotta get down to the facts here. If you have a damp, humid, cool, sun-free, because sun doesn't get to those folds or to your skin, period, because it's always covered up. If you've got that type of skin, you don't get that exposure to some UV light in the morning, you will grow stuff on your skin. Ultraviolet light is healthy in the morning. Cultures always knew this. They weren't stupid. They didn't sit out there at 1 o'clock in the afternoon and bake like eggplants in the sun. They stayed indoors. They stayed undercover. They stayed in trees. They put clothes on. There was all sorts of things that people did. They knew it intuitively. If you're connected to your body, lest I even get into that discussion, if you're connected to your body will tell you when it's time to get out of the sun. But as a rule of thumb, in the morning, from sunrise to about 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, an hour in the sun, naked if preferable, as little clothes as you have on your body, let that sun bake your body. That's health. And for your skin and for anti-aging, how are you going to get your aging rhythm down if your pineal gland doesn't get the sun? The sun through the pupil of the eye into the pineal gland. Activating it in conjunction with the cranial rhythms. The cranial rhythms. Do you even understand? Do we even understand what the cranial rhythms are? Where is that information out there? Where is that being brought up in anti-aging seminars? What the cranial rhythms really mean, but the sun on the skin through the eye in the morning, activating the pineal gland. That's where your anti-aging mechanisms work. How about sleep? What about sleep? Go find a cave. Yeah, do that. Find a cave, the Tesla cave. Look up the Tesla cave, T-S-L-A. It's a vortex. It's a place that's more connected to the biofields of the earth in California. Sleep in the Tesla cave. One of the great known cures for insomnia is sleeping on the earth, God's earth. The earth connected to the core of the earth, from which we have Schumann waves, Hartmann waves, the natural human grid into the hypothalamus at 7 hertz, just like the frequency in the hypothalamus. Do these waves come and make the hypothalamus smart in conjunction with a symmetrical bite, in conjunction with no tooth extraction? In conjunction with opening a jaw like a cat yawns in the morning so that the cranial rhythms move warmth down your spine into your sacrum, into a sacrum that pumps, that goes back and forth like a little dance and generates its own form of sacred biology, thus the stem cell. Where's that at the longevity conference? Where's that in the literature? Where is that? That's a lot. A lot more health in the last 15 minutes than in 100 longevity conferences. Just buy that herb. We're missing the point. The point is, do the herbs. Do whatever you want to do. But understand that to deliver, to truly deliver, Look at the movie stars. They look like they don't look good at 70 and 80 years old. They look like somebody pulled their skin over their face. I know what they do. I treat dozens of them. Everybody's got a facelift. Everybody at 70 looks like their skin has been wrapped so many times around their face they look like mummies. Nobody's telling them the truth. Those scars from facelifts destroy your energy fields. They destroy them. Short term, you're going to look better. Long term, you're going to get hurt. We see hundreds of examples of this. Well, maybe it's better that we do it than do nothing. If you don't know about any of this stuff, if you don't even understand holistic medicine on any level, if your life has been Winchell's Donuts and Taco Bell, the average American Betty Crocker diet, Aunt Jemima pancakes for breakfast, Betty Crocker for lunch, Taco Bell for dinner, busy with the kids, no time to exercise, well, then maybe at 60, 65 years old, when the skin's sagging ridiculously and it's blowing your mind, because, of course, you have that mentality that you're not old, right? The baby boomer generation, you guys grew up in the 60s. You were out there when Vietnam was going on. You're not sitting in a chair smoking a corn cob pipe without any teeth like grandma and grandpa did 100 or 200 years ago. No, you're not having 12, 14 kids. You're having one kid, two kids. And that's a lot. And that's almost too much. So you're not thinking about settling down at 60. So if you're just got the typical American lifestyle, maybe that facelift is a blessing. I'm open to any perspective. But really, really, next to this other stuff, forget it. You drank the Kool-Aid, man. So there's protein deficiency. So there's sleep. Oh, yeah, I've heard about all that stuff. No, you haven't. Because I was there at the longevity conference yesterday talking to people. And they're buying this and they're buying that and they're buying the other thing and everybody's in there clapping and it's all great and we're feeling good. Who's sleeping? Oh, yeah, I've been short a couple of hours a night for, I don't know, 2, 3, 4, 5 years. What do you think that's doing? And where do you sleep? In some electromagnetic Faraday cage. Where you're running EMF and current through your head in ways that create free radical damage that no antioxidant can competently counter. You've got to have patency in the biliary system. And those fats have to produce grease on your face. If you don't have grease on your face, you're doing something wrong. Done. If when you hit the sack at night, you don't go out like a bomb, you don't go out cold, and you don't wake up 7 or 8 hours and you don't know where you were for that 7 hours, you're doing something wrong still. If you're afraid to age because you think you're going to lose your sex appeal, you haven't figured it out yet. Ladies, if you don't think you're as hot at 60, if you do it right, and better and more attractive than you were at 20 because you've come into yourself correctly, you're thinking incorrectly, or you haven't done it right. And instead of being a 60-year-old young, open to the world, satisfied with how your life has gone, and ready to share that love with everybody and radiate through the process, if that's not happening, then you are old, and young people will be scared of you. And it's the same for men. If you're flipped out because your erections aren't what they were when you were 20 years old, and that's what your manhood derived itself from, you haven't learned the other part of it. You haven't even learned women. So if you approach middle age with this kind of fear, it will kill your discernment. You will not age correctly. You will not age years ago, I was sitting in a diner out in Stony Brook on the north shore of Long Island. And I can remember this day so clearly. I was in there doing, you know, the bacon and the eggs and the whole thing. It was in the afternoon. I loved this diner. This diner had energy. And a woman walked in. And I just fell in love immediately. And she was about 80 years old. I'd never seen a more beautiful woman. And she was 80 years old. She had to be that old. It didn't matter. If you really work the spiritual plane correctly, you are as delectable to touch, to taste, to feel, to love as you were when you were 20, and more so. And if you're 20 and you're negative and you're false and you're pretentious, it's like being a rubber doll. And it's about as pleasing as touching a rubber doll. And that is the way we should look at aging. Aging is an opportunity to perfect ourselves. And if you do it correctly, you come into something beautiful. Now from that, add your antioxidants and add your herbs and add your biliary patency and add good sleep. And add and add and add and add to that foundation. And you'll start to do what they did in the Old Testament. You see, that's what they did. So all the things you hear about, if you're talking to me, I'm a literalist. I believe everything literally in that book. And I know people were doing things back then that we're not doing now. Because we're competing every human second of our day with Madison Avenue. With this absolute crock. That tells us that really the science of aging has nothing to do with the spirit. Once again, we're infected and infested by this nonsense. Okay, back to brass tacks. Let's forget the theology. I don't want to be accused of being too aggressive on the air. Men should be feminine and soft. Not passionate and loud. Men should never bang their fist on the table. They should never raise their voice. It upsets the corporate structure. It upsets the higher sensibilities. That lack of control, it suggests something deeper, a fear, an insecurity, something we have to do away with. We need homogeneity within the group, quiet, reserved, low key, never raising our voice. Baloney. Baloney. When Godzilla knocks on your door, and Godzilla is knocking on your door, if you're like that, you're dead. So wake up, America. Wake up. We're losing this country to mentalities that have infected what built this country. Biliary patency. Protein deficiency, the quality of your sleep. Now let's get to the teeth and the cranial rhythms and anterior head carriage. The first sign of an older person is when the head starts to shift forward on the neck. Grandma is almost horizontal when she walks. She's hunched over. The neck's about 5 or 6 inches forward from what it was on her wedding day. There's a hunch in the back and the butt sticking out much wider from behind. When she's walking, she needs a cane because if you kick the cane away, she's going to tip over face down and fall in the mud. And that's what we call the elderly. The plumb line, the gravity line. From 20 to 60 to 80 is gone. In other words, we're tipping forward. The head comes forward. There are muscles that control anterior head carriage. Posture. Posture. Yes, pull your head back and pull your shoulders back. And that's your version of postural shift. You haven't got a clue. What do you think flexibility is about? What do you think massage is about? What do you think postural alignment in the art of structural medicine, whether it's flexibility medicine or Pilates medicine, by the time you were 60 or 70, you should be straight, just like you were on the wedding day. That is doable. That is definite. But muscles tighten and we don't address it. But adhesions and scars develop, like from facelifts, thyroidectomies, surgeries of all sorts. Ladies with these 6-inch high heels, what is that? Why would you put on a high heel that makes you 6 to 8 inches taller? What sense does that make? That is the singularly most retarded thing. I don't care what you think of what I just said. That is retarded. Lose those heels. Your feet are supposed to be in the earth, kissing the earth, spreading the toes wide, feeling life in the earth from the core, from the molten core, through your heels, up your legs, and into your brain. And when you destroy that because you want to be 6 or 8 inches taller, what are you doing? Why don't we just all walk around on stilts? My God. So, posture determines function. Structure determines function. Anatomy determines physiology. Your alignment should shift significantly when you stretch. Your alignment should shift significantly when somebody works their hands into your neck to pull it back 5 inches over a year. And the minute you lose that, you look older. You look significantly older, just like you look older in the skin when you lose your fats, just like you look older in your face and your body when you don't sleep deeply. Now, the teeth. Every tooth you lose bone. Bone in the face. Every infection in your tooth, you lose bone in the face. Every disease and sickness and infection in your gums, you lose bone in the face. The two maxilla, the zygomatic arches of the zygoma, and the mandible, the upper and lower jaw. You lose bone there as you lose your teeth. If you have an extraction, get the bone graft soon as you can, because your face will start to cave inward and you will lose the tone in your skin. Do not get cavities. If you have crowns, get up in between the crowns, high up at the margin of the crown, and look for decay under the crown. Because if your dentist missed that decay, the decay goes into the root, cracks the root, you lose the tooth. If you lose the tooth, get bone grafted into it. You must preserve the bone in the upper and lower face. If as you age, the face does not decrease in its width, its diameters, if it does not become long but stays wider and shorter, you're doing good. You must put your money into dentistry. You'll drop $800 or $1,200 in 2 to 3 months on food, on herbs, on gizmos. You'll go to that esthetician for the facial twice. Throw it into the teeth. Each tooth is worth. There's no amount of money that a tooth is worth. They are inestimably important. Praise teeth. Praise teeth. Hopefully we'll grow them soon. We'll implant tooth buds and make the teeth grow. It's said that at one time we could grow back our own teeth. Nonsense. That's just ancient garbage. Because the biofield of the earth, being what it was 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 years ago, couldn't possibly have delivered to our ignorant souls back then gifts from the divine that we can't even access today. Couldn't possibly be that. We were just numb and dumb, you know? Just running around trying to grow our grain. The teeth determine the width of the face. So if you're 40 or 50 years old, get to the dentist. If you have crowns, make sure they're not infecting up the margins. If you've had extractions, the minute you get them, get the bone grafts into them. A bone graft is an amazing thing where they use cow bone and maybe calcium sulfate or your own bone. And you grow blood vessels. You grow your own blood vessels into that bone. It kind of becomes real bone. And that bone preserves your face. So there's your average Jack. He's right over there. And every year his head moves another inch forward. So every year he looks that much older. And he doesn't get his fats. And if he does, he doesn't digest his fats. And he's lost the grease on his face, so everything's dry. And he doesn't get his sleep. And where he sleeps, he doesn't get a deep sleep. And he doesn't recharge like he would if he was on the earth, if he was in wood. Oh, we can't be in wood today. That's an absurd thing. No, it's not. It's not absurd. Build an extension to the house. Oh, my God. That's ridiculous. It's just so... This is modern world. Right. And you know the price you're going to pay? You're going to age more rapidly. Start thinking about it. We have solutions here that allow you to accommodate your techno-industrial lifestyle. And at the same time, superior medicine delivers the benefits of the ancients. No, it doesn't. It doesn't. What kind of arrogance is that? It's one thing to say it's difficult to change lifestyles in industrial societies. And we have to do something. So let's bring the best of our intelligence. But you're going to replace the ecosystem that God put here? There's an arrogance in that. And I don't see the statistics. You see, I don't see enough 90-year-olds with skin like they were 50. I don't see enough of that around. Do you? So what are we doing? You take the money out of all these claims. If you take the profit out, you start to understand that maybe we're drinking the Kool-Aid once again. Even if we're well-intentioned, it's easy to kid ourselves. And I say this so that when you buy a house, you might make sure that you have a wing built to the house that's wood into the earth. I say that so you might get yourself some sort of an apparatus, a yurt, an organic tent, and sleep on your property. I say this so that if you're sick and you haven't experienced what it's like to put your head on the earth out in the desert or where nature abides, you might start thinking about it. And these are the ways, the fundamental ways we need to think if we're going to meet the future. Anterior head carriage, do something about it. Your teeth, don't lose bone. Your biliary system, get working on it. Be careful with protein deficiency. And let's keep going. What about stem cells? What about stem cells? What about the talk? Wasn't there a bone down there called the sacrum, derived from the word sacred? Why was that bone called sacrum? Because people are stupid. People back then, those Latin guys, they're dumb. You know, Aristotle and Plato and the Latins that came after the Greeks, and the Egyptians that taught the Greeks, and the Greeks that taught the Romans, and the Latin that derived itself into the Middle Ages, into the Renaissance. Paracelsus, Galen, Hippocrates, Aristotle, Plato. These guys were dumb. We study them in theology. We study them in philosophy. We study them in ancient medicine. We study them because they're dumb. That bone meant something. It meant something. It meant that there's something magical about that bone. Magic? Did you say magic, Medici? Magic is witchcraft. Not to be perceived because something about witchcraft, the occult. No, it's not a cult. It's not witchcraft. It's a bone that today, we can harvest stem cells from. One of the great bones for production of stem cell is in the sacrum, which meant sacred. Why? Because they knew it. Now, if you've ever taken a sacrum, like I have, from a thick, rigid, immobile object and made it fluid by shifting posture through all the beautiful limbs of natural medicine, and you see that sacrum move in a person that's been processed in their health over a period of years, you'll understand what that bone is about. That bone, if it flexes, begins to generate a current from the base up to the brain. And that current enhances the production of stem cells within the sacrum. And that is working in tandem, corollary to, proportionate to, in collusion with the other bones of the body, which are becoming softer and more flexible. I don't mean your joints. Your bones can become flexible and resilient so that the marrow, the other source of stem cells, so that the marrow can start to produce at other levels. You activate the core line of energy in your bony system. And that enhances the stem cell production. Yeah, that really happens. It really does happen. But you have to get flexible. And you have to turn on the sacral pump, like the dancer. And if you've done that, you're realigning your body so your head's not shifting forward. So from the sacrum all the way up to your occiput is your stem cell reserve. But we'll forget all that. We'll gain weight. We won't stretch. We won't exercise. We won't do any of this. We'll definitely, though, spend money on stem cell therapies. Once again, we've done it. So listen to this show and think about the longevity conference. Listen to this show and go to these anti-aging seminars. And everyone can get together and clap, because modern science is bringing us to that other realm where we'll live longer than ever and look younger than ever. You got to be careful with it. That's my only point. Don't tell me I knocked it in the sense that it's not good if the perspective is correct. But I don't see enough of the perspective being driven. You see, there's a difference between telling your patient, you know, Joe, if you really want to help your prostate gland, you should exercise. You should get flexible. You just say that at the end. You slip it in. Don't tell me. I didn't tell you. I told you. You just slip it in at the end. You know the guy's not going to listen. You know you don't want to get into an argument with him because he's not going to do it. So you have every rationalization as a healthcare provider not to mention. How about this one? Joe, don't spend your money on herbs. Don't spend it on herbs if you're not going to change your diet. Don't waste your money if you're not going to get flexible. How about that? That's a very different way of saying it. How about don't go to the longevity conference? Don't go to it. If you're not going to understand that you have to employ more fundamental systems with those wonderful herbs. How about saying it like that? We don't say it like that. We slip it in. It's too harsh. It's improper. It's inappropriate. It's not politically correct. It's too negative. You see, but it just happens to be the truth. And that's what you watch people do. They go from booth to booth to booth to booth to booth to booth. You wonder why Dr. Marshall's always harping on digestion. He never stops talking about it. People say he's always talking about digestion. Of course, because it's the most basic fundamental system driving your health. And yes, the average American at 40 has burned out their digestive systems because we grew up on pizza, Coke, and Taco Bell. And this is my point. And as long as we're on this point, let's talk a moment about digestion. Too many people. I was testing a dozen of them yesterday. Too many people have all sorts of problems because their intestinal villi are inflamed. Your absorptive tissues in the small intestine are inflamed. So you imbibe, you absorb macromolecules of food that shouldn't be absorbed. And you initiate immunological reactions that are like bombs going off in your body. And your body doesn't know what to do with these packets of toxicity, so it sends them through your skin, up into your brain. It creates a systemic shock in your system, and when you see all sorts of issues from psoriasis to eczema to lumps coming out on different sides of your face to your tongue blowing up so big you can't swallow or you can't breathe. I have 1 minute to sum this up. I'll sum it up. Don't drink the Kool-Aid. Take your herbs. Read your literature. Do anything you can do to find good quality supplementation, and you know what my vote is for that. But don't overlook the fundamentals. You will pay. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici, Straight Talk on Health. We'll see you next week.
You've been listening to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Invite your family and friends to the show and learn about Dr. Medici through his website, straighttalk.cc. He'll give you the tools you need to save your health and prevent unnecessary surgeries and harmful drugs. And the best part? You can call in live with your health questions every week. For those of you still holding for Dr. Medici, stay on hold. He'll continue to answer calls for as long as it takes. He's dedicated to your ultimate healing. And remember, to contact his office for an appointment, call Rachel or Johanna at 310-320-1132. That's 310-320-1132. Join Dr. Medici next week at 10 a.m. for more Straight Talk on Health. This show and the information therein has not been evaluated by the FDA, and recommended products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. The information provided on this site is for informational purposes only and is not intended as a substitute for advice from your physician or other healthcare professional.